How do you cultivate a missions active church? What are some of the components, the building block in a strong missions program? How do we develop the kind of church that Dwight Smith speaks about? There are several steps that can move us in that direction. The first is this: join the ACMC. I tell nearly every congregation with which I interact about developing and strengthening their missions emphasis, join the ACMC. The ACMC was formerly called the Association of Church Missions Committees. It's a trans-denominational organization dedicated to strengthening the role of the local church in world evangelization. We've asked Tom Telford to explain more fully the goal of ACMC.
ACMC is an organization that was brought into being about 15 years ago to help churches do a better job in world evangelization. And we do this by a number of ways, of helping church leaders, by helping denominational churches. It's a trans-denominational organization, and we're trying to help churches do a better job in missions. After 15 years, we found out mostly what we're doing, we're equipping people to do the ministry. And then we started to think we needed to mobilize churches to do a better job in missions. And so we came up with a plan, and our plan has been described in our 32 plan, and that's doing this: having 10%, and by the way, these are minimums, 10% of your congregation praying for world evangelization, then 10% of your finances going cross-culturally, and then 10% of your people sharing their faith right where they are, and then 1% of your people being trained and sent as missionaries. That adds up to 31, and that's a mobilized church. But we don't want it to stop there. We want you to bring this church down the street to that level. So the 32, the extra one that we're talking about, is you equipping one other church and bringing them to the same level you are. So you're not in competition with the church down the street. You're trying to bring them up to that same level. That's an M&M church, mobilized and mobilizing.
So you can see that the ACMC exists to mobilize Christian congregations for effective involvement in world evangelization. They produce a number of key resources, such as a self-evaluation profile, multiple brochures on various phases of missions education, mission conferences, a mission education handbook, and a mission policy handbook, and a workbook which produces guidance for dealing with 63 different issues that churches and missions committees need to consider when formulating their missions policy. In addition, they hold four-day conferences every year, which bring together pastors and mission leaders and members of local church missions committees and other persons committed to the cause of worldwide evangelization in order to make local church missions programs more effective. Recently, I served for 3 years as chairperson of the missions committee of a local congregation, and I found the input that we received from ACMC absolutely invaluable. It changed the direction of the missions program of the church of which we were a part. We went to the annual conference. Now notice I say we. Often when there's an annual conference and you're a part of something, what you do is you send somebody. You send a delegate. And the person goes, they get lots of ideas, they get real excited, and they come back and begin to share all this, and the rest of the people fold their arms and they say, yeah, they'll get over it one of these days. The reason is that the other people simply have not experienced everything that the person who has gone has experienced. And so, not only did we join ACMC, that was one of the very first things we did as a congregation, but we sent not only me as the missions chairperson, but one of the elders and one of the deacons who were also members of the missions committee. So that as we went, we were able to fan out throughout this entire annual conference, go to all kinds of workshops, meet all kinds of other people who were serving at church missions committees around the country in all kinds of circumstances, and we were able to get together and share our results, the findings, the conclusions to which we had come, and to develop a strategy or formulate a program to introduce some of these ideas into the life of our local congregation. And we were able to mutually reinforce each other and keep alive the vision. The ideas that one receives from ACMC, the materials that they produce, are exceedingly helpful because they draw on the experience of thousands of churches that are involved in missionary outreach and missionary concern. And they keep us from reinventing the wheel. So instead of having to ask, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? We've never done it before. There are all kinds of resources that can tell you how other churches have effectively done something in their own given situation, and you can relate it to your own. The ACMC is comprised both of denominational and non-denominational or independent churches, and so what they provide is usable in almost any evangelical church. One of the things that they produce is a brochure called Cultivating a Missions Active Church. And let me just read for you some of the chapters at emphases from the table of contents. A Missions Active Church is a praying church. A Missions Active Church is led by a mission-minded pastor. A Missions Active Church has developed a strategy for its outreach. A Missions Active Church has an organized missions committee. A Missions Active Church is sacrificially funding missions. A Missions Active Church cares for its missionaries. A Missions Active Church holds an exciting missions conference. A Missions Active Church is growing world Christians. A Missions Active Church is preparing its missionaries. So this is the kind of thing that they'll help you do through their publications. And they have conferences not only nationally, but regionally as well. And it's well worth becoming a part of this organization and then sending not just one delegate every year, send two or three. Even if you can only go to the annual conference every 3 years, save up your money and send a team, send two or three people, and let them come back and implement what they've learned. As you can see, I believe that the ACMC is absolutely strategic, a tremendous resource for helping to build the strong Missions Active Church that we want to see built all around the country and around the world. Now, the second thing is build the committee. Build the missions committee. Unfortunately, most churches in the United States don't have a missions committee. And so the missions emphasis is handled either by the pastor or it's handled by the church board as a whole. And it sort of gets lost in the shuffle. Build a missions committee. And start with the chairperson. Don't just ask for volunteers. Select one of the outstanding people in your congregation who has a burden for missions and appoint that person for 3 to 5 years. Don't rotate. You'll lose continuity. It takes a while for a person to learn the job and to learn missions. Be sure that you provide for that chairperson opportunities for growth, that the person has opportunity to attend conferences, to read literature, and to be exposed as much as possible to the world mission of the church. The choice of a chairperson is vital. And then delegate. The missions committee may be a small committee or a large committee, but it should be large enough so that it can accomplish the functions for which it has been appointed. In our case, it meant a missions committee of about a dozen people. And each of the members of the committee had a specific responsibility and was the chairperson of a subcommittee. Subcommittees like the missions conference subcommittee, the prayer subcommittee, the hospitality subcommittee, the missions education subcommittee, the publicity subcommittee. All of these subcommittees and many more are part of the functions of a missions committee. And it's important to delegate because one of the things that kills missions committees is another meeting. A meeting that starts at 7, but really starts at 7:30 and goes to midnight because there's so many things on the agenda. Try hard to limit those meetings, to come with a prepared agenda, and to delegate, and to trust these subcommittees to do the job that needs to be done without rehashing everything at the level of the committee as a whole. That means, in order that they may do the job, that education needs to be an important part of the missions committee. And so a part of every meeting there ought to be time to look at a video and discuss the video, or to have a visiting missionary come and speak, or to review a book, or to hear a report, or to do something that will help to educate the missions committee. And again, long-term commitment is important. Yes, there should be some rotation, but it should not be the kind of committee that people are on a year and off a year. You want continuity on your missions committee. Third, develop a missions policy. Much effort is expended uselessly by deciding the same issue over and over and over again. Develop a missions policy. There are at least 63 identifiable issues about which you are going to have to make policy decisions. ACMC has developed a missions policy handbook to help you do that. And it has a sample policy from a large church, a medium-sized church, and a small church. And provides criteria. You're going to need criteria so that things can be decided ahead of time. What's the criteria for appointing missionaries? What should be the minimum support level? What should be the maximum support level? How do you terminate a missionary? How many months support do you give them if they leave the field? What kind of reporting do you expect from your missionaries? How much time on furlough does the church expect from them? What are the doctrinal standards? What are the committee responsibilities of the various subcommittees within the missions committee? What percentage of the money should be spent on home missions? How much on foreign missions? How much on projects? How much on youth missions? How much on supporting the denominational budget if you're a part of a denomination? How much for institutions? See, all of these percentages need guidelines. All these decisions need guidelines. And a missions policy resolves all sorts of problems that consume an enormous amount of time. It's worth the effort to develop a missions policy, and I have never encountered a church that is effective in terms of its missions activity that doesn't have a written policy of some kind. Then, fourth, involve the staff, particularly the pastor. Again, it's such a tragedy when there's a mission-oriented nucleus within the church that doesn't take the pastor into account. Because although it will be possible to do many good things, the church as a whole will not become a mission-active church. It will not become a missionary church, as Dwight Smith would say, unless the pastor is committed to that vision. Invite the pastor to the missions committee meetings. Be sure that there's a staff member, if it's not the pastor, someone else on the staff who is a part, perhaps an ex officio member, of the missions committee. And make sure that the pastor has resources made available to him, books about missions. Send him to visit a missions conference in another church. There are some of the churches in the United States and Canada which purposely invite pastors and train pastors to lead their congregation in mission thrust. And you can get your pastor to go to one of those. Have him visit the mission field. Have him visit the missionaries whom the church supports. So involve the pastor. Pray for the pastor. Give him the resources and the exposure that he needs. Because it's of vital significance that the pastor is committed to cultivating a missions active church, and that the mission committee and the other members of the church are in back of him in working hand in hand with him in accomplishing this. Involve the staff. Be sure you motivate the congregation. That's important. Motivation is of two types: intensive and extensive. This is perhaps the most important thing I'm going to say during this study. Keep a balance of intensive and extensive. Some churches put all of their eggs in the basket of the missions conference. They have a one-week missions conference or a half-week missions conference or an extended weekend missions conference, and it's really exciting. It's well done. And people are excited. And they're greatly enthusiastic about missions for a while. But then it begins to wear off because there's not enough of a database to support the volitional commitment or the emotional feeling that people have about missions. And so this intensive focus where the missions conference becomes the most important thing that the local church is doing at this particular time in the year needs to be supplemented or complemented by an extensive emphasis so that week by week, day by day, there is a continual process of missionary education going on in the worship service. Are missionaries being prayed for in every worship service? Or what about the moment for mission? We're going to be looking at some samples of what a good moment for mission really is all about. What about the hymns, the selection of the hymns? Do the hymns reflect missions themes? Is that pointed out to the congregation? What about the messages? Are there periodic messages on missions? One pastor discovered that he could be very effective in keeping missions consciousness before the congregation by including in his illustrations a lot of missions illustrations, not just about missionaries, but also international illustrations that came from countries and cultures other than his own. And this continual emphasis helped the congregation to develop a world perspective and help the members in their own quest to be more effective as world Christians. So this kind of extensive emphasis that keeps missions before the congregation all year long, maybe on a back burner, but always present, there's always an awareness of that, really provides the backdrop for the intensive focus that comes through the missions conference when you're calling for commitment and really looking for changes to take place in people's lives. So motivate the congregation through a balance of the intensive and the extensive. And then educate the congregation at every level. At every level. From the very youngest to the very oldest member in every structure. The new members class. Are new members aware of the mission involvement of your congregation? Is that part of the teaching for new members as they come into the church? Or is that sort of assumed and forgotten? But what about the library? Does the church library have any books on missions? Are they hidden away? One of the things that I found very helpful as a pastor was to have a book of the month and mention it before the congregation and have a book table where that book or an alternate book would be available for the congregation to either purchase or borrow so that this is continually being lifted up. What about Vacation Bible School and the Missions Project or having a focus on a given country of the world? I know of one church that was organized around cells, and each cell or each small group adopted a country of the world. And they learned all they could about that country. If they took a vacation, they tried to travel to that country. If there was a missionary who visited the church that was from that country, he went to that group. And people discovered it was amazing how many people that they met in their jobs or at work or at school or somewhere else that was from the country that they were studying about, and it gave a focus to what they were doing. So at every level, youth, the Sunday school, have prayer and Sunday school classes, all of these things at every level, educate the congregation about missions. And then too, send people. Set aside something in the budget of the church to send young people or help young people to attend the Urbana Missionary Convention every 3 years during their college or graduate school experience. Have money in the budget for short-term missions. For junior highs, that may just mean some day trips down into the center of a large city or out to the rural areas surrounding your church building. Or it may mean for senior highs, time spent in one of the deprived areas of our own nation or living in the midst of a group of another culture seeking to assist in the work there. As people move into college, it may mean short terms, summer weeks or months, spent out of the year in another culture, another country, another people group assisting missionaries. And what about delegates to attend some of the regional conferences of groups like ACMC? And then too, personalized missions. This is exceedingly important as we consider the baby boomer generation, which is not given to support institutional causes of which about which they know very little. So personalized missions, that may mean pictures in the church hallway of all the missionaries. It may mean that when the missionaries visit, instead of putting them up in a motel to house them among the people of the congregation, it may mean meals with members of the congregation and to distribute them around the congregation. It may mean the sending of cards to the missionaries of the church, their birthdays or at Christmas or at other special times. It may mean editing their letters and distributing them to the congregation or publishing them in the most significant parts in the church bulletin. Mobilize prayer support. That's an important part. During worship, some churches have established a prayer class that meets during the Sunday school hour for the purpose of learning about the missionary outreach of the church and for having a time of prayer for the missionaries. Other churches during their missions conference allow for people to choose a missionary for whom to pray. Others distribute the Global Prayer Digest. In other words, do all you can to mobilize prayer. Then, too, you can adopt a people group. There's an Adopt a People Clearinghouse, and some churches have focused their attention on one of the unreached peoples of the world and have made that a congregational project to learn all they can about that and to assist in the evangelization of the one of the remaining 12,000 or so people groups in the world. Then, too, churches need to raise up missionaries, raise up their own missionaries. It's not unreasonable to think that churches should raise up between 1 and 3% of their members to be involved in missionary service. Sometimes the greatest hindrance is Christian parents. Now, that may be hard to believe, but I have talked with students who are considering missionary service, and they said, but you know, my parents really don't want me to go. I said, oh, I'm sorry that your parents aren't believers. They said, oh, but they are. They're active church members. And I discover that there are Christian parents, they believe in missions. They give the missions. It's just that they don't want their own kids to go. They don't want their own grandchildren to go. And so we need to raise up missionaries and raise up a consensus within the congregation to encourage people and churches to be senders even of their own family. Churches need to do everything they can to encourage people in this, to assign elders or deacons to work with the people that have identified themselves as considering missionary service, to provide scholarship help, to encourage and give opportunity that they might have the experiences which would help them to serve. There are many more things that can be said. There are many more resources that can be of a great help to you as you seek to identify and to develop the components in order that you might be part of and develop a missions active church.